Holy Thursday is the beginning of the passion and death of our Lord. At this hour, our Lord began his Last Supper and he instituted the great sacrament of his love, the greatest and the most important sacrament of all, the Holy Eucharist, which all the other sacraments are ordered to. And at the same time, our Lord established that his sacred presence on earth would remain until the end of the world. And he told his apostles to change bread and wine into his body and blood. And by telling them to do this, he gave them at the same time the power to obey that command by ordaining them priests. And by the institution of Christ, the apostles passed this power to consecrate the Holy Eucharist to their successors. And the church has kept and preserved this power from one age to the next, because this was God's will and his command. Our Lord instituted the Holy Eucharist as a sign of his love, and so that he could remain with us on earth until the end of time and be the food of our souls. One day there were two men who were disputing over a piece of land. They brought their case before the Holy Roman Emperor, Otto, and each one claimed to own that piece of land. The emperor couldn't figure out who had the legitimate claim, so he gave the land to one of them, and then out of his own pocket he took out money equivalent to the value of the piece of property and gave it to the other man so that they were both satisfied. This was an extraordinary act of generosity, but a similar thing happened on the night of Holy Thursday. Our Lord has lived on earth for 33 years and is now at the end of his sojourn. And it's almost as if there was a dispute over the angels and mankind, over who would get to have our Lord. The angels wanted him back in heaven after he had spent so much time on earth, but we human beings, especially the apostles, wanted our Lord to stay. And the apostles especially were sad when our Lord told them that it was time for him to leave this earth. So how did our Lord settle this dispute? He did something very similar. He satisfied the angels by ascending up into heaven, and he satisfied mankind by remaining with us invisibly on earth in the Blessed Sacrament, and giving his apostles the power to bring him down on earth. But what could have been the motive of Christ to stay with us here in this holy sacrament? Did he do it in order to receive honor from the human race? It could not have been for that reason, because our Lord receives very little honor from most of mankind in the Holy Eucharist, even less than he received when he was on earth. Just as people said about Christ during his public life, they said, "Is he not the son of the carpenter?" And the Pharisees accused him of being a blasphemer. And in the same way, our Lord is also insulted by mankind. The vast majority of the human race never comes to church at all to adore him in the Blessed Sacrament or to attend Mass. Even his own followers, either many of them don't come to Mass or behave carelessly when they are in church and don't observe the proper reverence that they should in the presence of God. There have even been heretics and infidels who have desecrated the Blessed Sacrament in the most horrible manner. And there are very, very few people on earth who really make any effort to honor the Blessed Sacrament. But pray God, we are one of those people. So certainly the hope of being honored by mankind in the Holy Eucharist could not have been the motive for Christ to institute this sacrament. What other motive could he have had? Was it to increase his happiness? Absolutely not. He is the infinite God. He is glorified and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he has all power in heaven and on earth. God cannot become happier in any way, and especially not by dwelling here with man on earth. So that could not be the answer to our question either. But there must have been some powerful reason that convinced our Lord to stay on earth for millennia all over the world. On every continent, in every church. And yes, there is. Absolutely there was. The reason he did this, and the only reason, was because of his love for us. And we should pray, especially tonight, for the gift of understanding to see the great love that he is showing us tonight by instituting this sacrament to remain with us on earth. It's important and helpful in understanding this mystery to consider the time that our Lord chose to institute this sacrament. He could have instituted it at any point in his life, but he chose his last evening. Why did he wait until the last moment? Why did he not give this great gift, maybe after the resurrection or before his ascension into heaven? The reason he chose the evening before his death was so that we would see better that this is a sign of his love for us. If a parent has a great treasure that he wants to give his children to show them how much he loves them, when will he give it to them? What time can he choose to give it to them that will make them understand the best that this is a sign of his love? He will do it on his deathbed so that they will remember him that way. It will be their last memory of him, this great gift that he gave them. This is exactly how our Lord thought of it too. It's like he was thinking to himself, I have already given man so many proofs of my love. I have created them. I have become man. I have lived on earth for over 30 years, and I am about to suffer and die for their sins. And it's like he thought, what else can I do for the human race? He said, I can give them one last gift, the most precious gift of all. I can give them all that I have and all that I am, so that they will not be able to accuse me of doing less for them than I could have done. He gave himself to us for our inheritance. He gave his body and his soul without reserve, and he gave it at a time when we ordinarily give all of our possessions to those we love on our deathbed. And it was at the very moment also when the Pharisees were plotting to kill him and Judas was going to betray him that he gave himself to the evil and ungrateful human race to be our food and drink, and to abide with us in the Blessed Sacrament in such a wondrous manner in practically every church. He said, instead of taking my love away as mankind is getting ready to put me to death, instead I will show it to them all the more. And what an amazing way that he chose to do this. Who could have ever imagined that God could give us his own flesh to eat and his blood to drink, to be the food of the human race? What human being or what angel even could ever have thought of such an idea? And if anyone had ever thought of such a thing, who would have ever dared to ask for such a thing from God? We would immediately have banished the thought from our minds as something even sacrilegious to think about. But what we would never have even considered, the great love of God has given us without our even asking for it. This is why our Lord said to the apostles when they became sad that he was about to leave, he told them, let not your hearts be troubled. I will not leave you orphans. This is what he meant in saying that. He meant that he will remain with us always in the most holy sacrament. He said that because he was about to give them a power that is greater than any power in heaven or on earth, the power to change bread and wine into his body and blood. And the human race will always be able to use that power to keep him here with us on earth. The only thing the apostles needed to do, and the only thing that their successors in the priesthood have to do to this day, is to pronounce the few short words of consecration over bread and wine. And at that very moment, they will be holding our Lord in their hands. This is an immense proof of the love of God for us. We have here in this church, and in every Catholic church, the same Jesus that was born in Bethlehem and was laid on straw, and who restored sight to the blind and made the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. We think of the good people that loved our Lord in his lifetime on earth, like the priest Simeon that offered him in the temple. And as soon as he held the baby Jesus in his arms, he said that he had all that he wanted to live for, and now he was ready to die. We can think of Zacchaeus, the sinner who repented and invited our Lord to eat dinner at his house to celebrate. And we consider people like this to be blessed because of their contact with Christ. We can even think of Our Lady and Saint Joseph, who raised our Lord from infancy. What a blessed life they led because of their presence with him. But how can we be envious of these people when we have something even more than what they had? We are not able to hold our Lord in our arms like Simeon, but we receive him into our hearts in Holy Communion, a much greater union than even Saint Simeon had. And we don't have our Lord come to our house the way he came to the house of Zacchaeus, but we can come to his house, to the church, and we can kneel in his presence. Christ said that he is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And each day he gives his life for us on the altar in Mass. And each day he is willing to come into our hearts and feed our souls in Holy Communion if we come and assist at Mass and desire to receive him. Even God himself, in his infinite wisdom, could not find a stronger proof of his immense love for us than this. And God is almighty, and yet even all of God's infinite power is not able to do anything greater for us than the Holy Eucharist and receiving him in Holy Communion. And even despite being love itself, he can't give us anything more consoling than the Holy Eucharist. Saint Augustine would just become overwhelmed when he would think about these things. And he would say, God has given us heaven. He has given us earth. He has given us his kingdom. He has given us himself. What more does he have to give us? And he said, my God, how generous thou art with thyself. But even the manner in which our Lord remains with us on earth is yet another way to show us his great love for us. He is with us hidden under the appearances of bread and wine. Now, we might be tempted to think, but wouldn't it be a greater sign of his love for us if he remained with us on earth and talked with us in a normal human manner? And the answer is no. His mysterious life in the Holy Eucharist shows us his love more than if he appeared visibly. The reason for this is that, first of all, our Lord is more loving towards sinners by being hidden from them in his presence here. If he appeared in his glory, sinners would be afraid to approach him or pray to him. And now, as he is in his glorified body, he would be shining with a light we wouldn't be able to bear. None of us can look at the sun at noon. So if he appeared in his visible presence, we would be too terrified by his glory even to come into the church. When Adam and Eve sinned, as soon as they even heard the voice of God in the Garden of Eden, they were terrified and they hid themselves from God. And Cain fled even from the face of the Lord. And yet it is the purpose of the Holy Eucharist for us to come and adore God with love. He says, come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. He says this to everybody without exception. He says, all of you come. He wants the good and the bad to come, the rich and the poor, the educated and the ignorant. Our Lord invites everyone to come to him, and he promises to everyone, and again without exception, and I will refresh you. He will refresh our souls with his grace and his strength. He will console us in our problems. He will strengthen us in our difficulties. He will strengthen us especially against temptation. He is waiting for us to come to him at all times. He is on the altar 24 hours a day, constantly waiting for us to come to him so he can help us. This is how humbly our Lord hides himself for our sake. But unfortunately, his love is abused terribly by mankind. Not only do sinners despise our Lord or even disbelieve him, but even a lot of good people, otherwise good people, treat our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament with indifference and coldness. We take him for granted, and we often make little effort to communicate with him even when we are in church. Our Lord complained about this to St. Margaret Mary, that despite how much he loves man, most people return his love with ingratitude and even contempt. And he says that what hurts him most is that he is treated this way even by good and just souls. So let us renew our fervor and love for our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and always remember in whose presence we are whenever we are in church. And let us come to church as often as we can, even on days when it would not be a sin for us to stay home. That is when we really show our love for God, by coming to visit him because we want to, not because we are obliged to. We have to pay our Lord something back for the love that he has for us. And the one thing that we can give him, which is the one thing that he wants, is for us to love him. We have to show our love by keeping his commandments, first of all, avoiding sin, and coming to the Blessed Sacrament and receiving him as often as we possibly can. And he will strengthen us to do this and detach us from creatures and fill our hearts with love of him so that we will serve him better. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.